The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Voice of the people. News Talk 710 KNUS Denver. Get up, get at it, and get it done with Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
8 a.m. straight up. Good morning, everybody. The final morning of November, Monday, November 30th, 2020, 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. Beautiful weather. By the way, we lost Professor Riley. He had to reschedule. We got that, so we go to open lines. 303-696-1971, lines wide open. 54 will be the high today. Tomorrow, some snow, 43 in the afternoon. 33 degrees Wednesday. We'll see what happens. The new column is up, Cherry Creek Chronicle column, our Christmas wishes. Go to the website, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles, and our page. Click on columns, our Christmas gifts and wishes for people that I'm sure sarcastically will bite somebody on the leg. In open lines, we're talking about anything you want to talk about. But in the meantime, my sense, and our final show was a Thursday with the parade. And then over the weekend, interesting things have happened. And all of them are talking about the lack of anybody in the Denver media with a pair to go after the power elite. And as you probably have by this time imagined, the city is fairly well run by a bunch of politically correct far leftists who refuse to speak the truth. The beauty of all of it is DPS school board member Tay Anderson. Now, Colorado Peak Politics has no problem doing any of this. And their headline, school board member deletes racist tweet about brother's Thanksgiving with a white woman. And who's involved in this? It's that idiot Cal Clark giving everyone the best of dinners and that stupid stuff. That's just really typical of that guy. But it turns out Anderson is lamenting that his brother chose to celebrate Thanksgiving with a white woman. Oh, end of the world. She's white, taking her to another level. You know, flip it. The person that always comes to mind is Tancredo. It could be anybody. We don't have any, Ken Buck, please. Cory Gardner, not on your life. So who is some prominent white politician? I always come back to Tommy. Because the Denver Post did everything they could to destroy him and people alongside that did that. But think about it. Just make this the opposite. Some white man saying his Thanksgiving is ruined because his brother is having Thanksgiving with a black woman. That'd be lead in the Denver Post this morning. Then Jared Polis not talking about where he got the COVID. I ask you again to compare and contrast how Donald Trump was treated when he, Mrs. Trump, and Barron were tested positive for the virus. Every single thing about their lives was scrutinized, as someone said, for infecting other people and everything, not a word. The first gentleman and the governor, and we're not allowed to ask, or they won't tell, or no, but they're not going to ask anyhow. Don't think that their Denver Post is going to run in and go, hey, Jer, how'd you do this? Were you wearing a mask? Who'd you talk to? Are you a super spreader? Especially after you have been scolding and limiting everybody else. Make things 6 feet social distancing. You know the drill. Washing your hands. But again, if Jared Polis did everything right, how in God's name did he get the virus? And look what they've done to restaurant owners. Look what they've done to everybody. But no one's going to ask. The Denver Post is not writing one of their critical attack editorials saying, were you infecting other people? Where did you go when you were infected? And as, again, Peak Politics asks, who did you come in contact with? Did you infect others? Were you wearing a mask? Not a word. Last but not least, of course, the whammo showstopper is the mayor, who someone said only when Gavin Newsom of California could only be topped by Michael Hancock. And, you know, when people started barraging me over the weekend, I'm not gigging, and they're saying, well, look, I'm like, I said, that's who he is. I've told you guys. for 12 years. I told you this guy is. Back from Players and Sugar, the con job, Leslie Branch Wise. I mean, just the cons, who runs the show, his moves on heroin injection, his kid, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's who the guy is. It's not a breakthrough. All right, we're in open lines. Let's rock and roll. Hey, Thomas, you're on a radio show. Thanks and good morning.
Hi, Pete. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I like to go on Twitter, and I like to do a little pushback on these socialists. And one of my big arguments is you guys are wrong about right-wing being fascist or Nazi. I point out that it's a common misconception that the Nazis were right-wing.
I never said that. Where are you getting
that? No, not you. I'm saying it's a common misconception on Twitter. Wow. I like to go argue with these folks on Twitter.
Right.
Can you please explain to me the correct position of the Nazis? I don't think they were right-wing. I think they were fascist and left-wing.
Well, remember, they're National Socialists. But
right.
The socialism had to do with blood and soil. You know, the Aryan. I mean, it's so complex, but remember what fascism is, and I keep coming back to people. Fascism is a corporate state. The Spanish called it the Falange. The Falange was in Lebanon. Mussolini was a fascist. But no one did away with the corporate state. In the Führer's Germany, the Krupps, the Farbens, you know, Dr. Porsche, you know, all the guys, the auto union, they remained private sector. But they were in a control faction. But the socialist in Adolf Hitler is an interesting character because he's so adamantly anti-Marxist. He's so adamantly anti-communist. He thinks communism is a plot by Jews. He talks about it because, you know, Marx is a Jew and Engels a Jew and Lenin was Jewish. Trotsky was Jewish. And so that was his perception. But they're also pagans. They also, you know, they've turned to the dark side. When people talk about them being Christian, they were only Christian to a certain point. And then Hitler actually thought Christianity was very weak and Christianity should be eliminated. The state is a religion. The state is all powerful. Everything is about the state. The Führer is the Führer. You know the drill. I mean, they are National Socialists. And that's important. And they're all worker. The A it means worker. And so they're National Workers' Party. It's a socialist party.
Thanks, Pete. I really appreciate it.
No, listen. You're kind.
Truth.
But remember, there are Christian socialists. There are people, you know, a lot of European countries have socialist parties that are Christian socialists. Adolf Hitler used the church, and the church was a willing participant. But at the point when you know, when there's guys like Himmler, they're gearing up, they're making a religion. They're inventing this religion of Arianism. And, you know, if you go back and read the Thule Society, there's something for you to do. It's Thule Society. If you're a Google guy, Google the Thule Society, and they are the precursor. And you can read what the Thule said and read Helen Petrovia Blavatsky. Just Google Madame Blavatsky and see these are the people that influenced Adolf Hitler and Joseph Goebbels, and they're leading you to a religious experience, but the state is the religion. The religion is state, and you know. And remember, it's Germany. It's a soil and blood movement. That if you're an Aryan, I mean, it's complex, but look, if you expect somebody to, you know, they call them right wingers, just ask them what Nazi spells out. I mean, it's a workers' party. It's a workers' movement. They're not communists by any stretch of the imagination. They're not Marxist. They're not seizing the means of production. When you seize the means of production, that means they would have taken over from they'd have taken the Krupps, they'd have taken the Farbens, and they'd have taken their factories from them. Now they dictated, you know, what was going to be made and how it was going to be made, but they went along with it. Now, you know, it's far more complex than I just said, but listen, if you expect some local anchor to understand that, then, you know, I got a bridge for you in Brooklyn.
I just want to have a little pushback.
No, they're not. They're not. They're socialist. They're national.
They really are.
They're a workers' party. No, the A is Arbeit. It's a worker. It's a worker. It's a workers' movement. All right, man. Goodbye. Goodbye. All right, we go to Don. Don, you're on the radio show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Peter.
Hey, man.
So, question for you on the media. Do you think in the years you've lived here that Denver had ever a fair media?
Yeah, I do. I do. They had a fairer or much better is a better way to answer that.
And who would you say back when the Rocky was there? So you was in competition.
Yeah, I mean, I remember guys doing investigative reporting. Kevin Flynn, for one, comes to mind. And that goes back 1,000 years when it was Sardella, Akers, Carl Akers, who, when I broke into business, was the man. Bob Palmer was another guy. Palmer didn't take any guff from anybody. Competition was intense. The papers were intense. You know, but when you mark a place, the arrival of Roy Romer and Federico Pena is a jump-off point. And a lot of things, when they create the airport and all the stuff that comes along with that. But this stuff now makes those guys look like, makes them look like Walter Winchell. I mean, Paulus is able not to be treated as they treated Trump. And so...
So what do you think? What do you think changed? Was there a defining moment?
No, I think
we went through as a country, or was it just a gradual?
I think if you read it historically, Woodward and Bernstein, who I think the world of, changed the history. I mean, there's been people like Ira Tarbell and people Sinclair Lewis, and there have been these great. Tarbell did the history of Standard Oil, and they were known as the muckrakers. And they were really investigative reporters, and they were great. And there were people that had, lost their vision, had acid thrown in their eyes for writing about organized crime. There really were people that did the job. And now they see themselves as a weaponized, left-of-center, political, nonsensical deliverer. And that's who they are. I mean, they went from, a time when you thought, man, guys were—I wrote the column I wrote last month— and called journalism used to be a contact sport, and it's not. I mean, just going through stuff and not saying anything about this idiot radio show, but, man, these guys, they don't want it. When you point them out that they're taking the flak, then they really start to lie. The best example was the murder of Tex Keltner and the role Channel 9 and Denver Post played in that. And they're, and then how they brought in people from out of town and said these were the real reporters and, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they're hacks.
So do you think if Ben Bradley would have been a Republican, he would have let the hounds loose, i.e. Bernstein and Woodard?
No, I think, and by the way, it isn't until the New York Times and CBS really picked that story up. If you read All the President's Men, which is a really great read, Woodard and Bernstein were on to it. And Bradley backed their play to his credit. But when the New York Times has done two things. One is the release of the Pentagon Papers with Ellsberg, which is a huge, that's a huge moment.
Yeah.
And for me, it was, that's when you look back, some people that, and the other one is when Katherine Graham decides that they're going to take them on. And they're threatening her like happens with us, but it's on a multiple, they weren't going to renew her television licenses. Nixon was going after her. And
did they have an animus towards Nixon or just the party in general?
I think the lies. I mean, I think Nixon hated the press. Press hated Nixon. Okay, fine. But Nixon's lying about Vietnam. Nixon's lying about so many things. Lying about the break-in.
Well, what about the predecessors, Kennedy, Johnson?
But they're gone.
They were liars. Why didn't it happen back then? Wasn't everything Jack Kennedy was doing? Why wasn't that
great,
the media
great,
knew about it?
Great
like
question.
Babe Ruth's running down the car naked, and there's a story we'll never be able to report.
I think it's a legitimate question. I think that Jack Kennedy represented those men. He was a World War II guy. He was handsome. He was young. And he was probably doing exactly what they were doing with women and drinking and raising hell. FDR... either his mistress is either dies in her arms or she's in the other room, depending on what historians you read. And they knew. And the press corps, they're parked on a siding playing poker, drinking whiskey. He's back getting his picture painted, and they knew. They knew about her. But we were at war, and you needed to protect the president who they loved. The same thing is true with Jack Kennedy. And that's the weird thing about Nixon. But did they know Lyndon Johnson gets out because they're on to him. They're on to the lies. And he can't continue, and he cowards out. But he forces Hubert Humphrey to continue his politics, and that's one of the reasons. Well, and then plus, you know, they cooked him. Nixon cooks Hubert Humphrey, cooks him.
Yeah. What did you think of when they exposed Tom Eagleton and he had to drop out as VP?
Yeah, but here Eagleton had been through depression and had been given shock therapy. And
spent a little time in what we would have called an asylum.
My
memory serves correct.
Hey, you know, believe me when I tell you.
I know.
But so but Eagleton should have outed himself, knowing, you know, it's like, you know, if you got something in your background and it's like you're going to get burned on it. And, you know, when the idiot mayor is doing players insured, what was he thinking? He wasn't. You know, when he did the payoff on Leslie Branch Wise, you know, he took some heat for it, but not enough. But Thomas Eagleton was
Blagojevich thinking, you know.
Yeah, that's my point.
Usual.
Exactly. Blago's selling, and somebody else is buying. what's his name? Jesse Jackson's kid. He was on the take. But it's one, you know, it's one thing. I'm finishing this book to get a country into war about George Bush and Cheney and Wolfowitz and Card and Rumsfeld. And I mean, it's the most stomach turning book, what they did, and they're being cheered along. I don't know what I know. And they're manufacturing lies to use. They're clearly outrageously lying. And yet what happened.
Well, the media, I don't know. It's just, you know, being an old guy like you, and as you put it, when the truth is found to be lies.
Grace Slick said that.
You know, yeah, she sure did. And it didn't have as much impact to me at the time. That's probably stoned, as I would
well, listen,
say.
Stoned and I missed it.
There you go.
Yeah. But my point is, looking at these three examples this morning, Polis, the mayor, and the school board member, and they're all politically correct in a class by themselves, and they can literally get away with it. No one challenges it. I bring it up on a radio show, and, you know, they're a big deal, you know. Thankfully, the radio show is doing extremely well, modestly, he says. But Tay Anderson says about his brother's Thanksgiving with a white woman. That's Tay Anderson. That's his Paul. That's who he is. That's who he is. This is who Polis is. And this is who Michael Hancock is. And that's who Cory Gardner was. And that's who John Hickenlooper is. And the beat goes on. But it, you know, what was the great thing? IDM. It don't matter.
And that's shrug your shoulders. It's not our business. You know?
But that's
Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. So what? It's not our business. That's his private life.
But the point that I take is, Bill Clinton got disbarred because he lied to a grand jury. You know, and I do not like Bill Clinton. But if you're going to take a hit, it better be George Bush, not Bill Clinton. All right, man.
I'm 100% with you. Thank you.
All right. Groundbreaking advanced FUE treatments from Advanced Hair restores your hair. I mean, it's a restoration. It's here in Denver. You talk about the ultimate great Christmas gift. If you're receding hairless young guys, man, bald spots and thinning hair, Dr. Tanya Paul, she's the surgeon. Travis and I were down there, and Farah, and the whole team's run by these great women. And advanced FUE treatment, do this, you know, maybe it's your son, your husband, your dad, your uncle, your boyfriend, but it's, or maybe, you know, they're women, it happens to women. It's pain-free, and your hair starts growing the very next day. These are surgical treatments, 100% guaranteed you get hair. All I'm asking you to do is make the call and talk to them. If it's you, 720-459-HAIR, 720-459-HAIR. It's underway in Denver. Now we got the grand opening, and everything is, you know, all protective and COVID. Always receive the very highest standard of care, well beyond CDC guidelines. One-day treatment, it's life-changing. Your new hair is 100% guaranteed to grow. Just do it. They're very confidential. They'll keep you, you know, where you want to be, very secret, 720-459-HAIR. Look at the website, advancedhair.com. Just call them up. I mean, you will be so glad. I mean, if you do it, you'll change your life. 720-459-HAIR.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
24 minutes after the hour, one line is open. 54 will be the high, 43 tomorrow, 33 on Wednesday. Back here tomorrow morning at 5, Stefan at 4 o'clock. Winter Park opens Thursday, yes. You're on the street and somebody comes up and panhandles you and asks you for money. I just tell you this much. You're helping these people commit suicide. They're killing themselves on the installment plan and you're helping. Forget Hancock and Hickenlooper and the rest of that. If somebody, you know, gives somebody $5 or $4 or whatever you're doing, they're going to buy booze, they're going to buy dope, or you're going to kill them. You want to help? There's a better way. Schedule Colorado Gives Day at coloradogives.org/stepdenver. Every day, guys, walk through the doors of Step on Larimer, right in front of Coors Field. Make a commitment to sobriety and work and accountability and rebuild their lives. I've seen it. I met Bobby Cote, I don't know, after I got sober, I met him. And I've seen firsthand for 30 years that watching Bob, now Paul, and all the guys are running it. And Colorado Gives Day is December the 8th. Step Denver is counting on people like you to invest in men who are investing in themselves, because Step makes a real change. Every dollar you donate turns into $7 of impact. Change somebody's life a legit way, not the stupid stuff that the city and the state do. They don't take government funding. Your support means so much more than that. Don't wait December 8th, but you can schedule your tax-deductible donation at coloradogives.org/stepdenver. coloradogives.org/stepdenver. All right, we go to the phones. We go to James. James, you waited. Good morning. You're on the radio show, man. Thanks.
Good morning, Mr. Boyles.
Well, hey, man.
I just want to thank you because I have a pet peeve, and it's when all these Turning Point USA, PragerU geeks and nerds like to run around saying, well, Antifa's are the real fascists, or, you know, Nazis are the same thing as communists. No, they're not. And you all are idiots.
It drives
me nuts.
I hear the same thing.
I appreciated your answer and explaining, you know, yeah, they're so close together and so much the same thing that they fought Stalingrad, the biggest battle in history. Yeah, they're just best buds, really. They didn't like each other like brothers. Yeah, sure.
No, and some idiot called the other day and said that Stalin was a right winger. And I'm going, man, where do these people get this? Look, that moment in time. To me, when the rest of the world, although there still are places where they've held sway, but they only do it by truncheon and gun, but we're running at to embrace this, that most of the world has either been through it or running back the other way. And to me, I'm watching the Ocasio-Cortezes or idiots like Kyle Clark or some other damn fool talking about, oh, now, and I'm thinking to myself, don't you understand? This has tested my history. And it failed, not once, but every time we came in contact with it.
And right, and
that's no, that's just the amazing part of it. Controlling, you know, defunding police was something the old Bolshevik party did, you know, before they gained power. The Marxist, and you can read Solzhenitsyn; he's talking about it, you know, defunding the cops and the French Revolution. You find a scab and pull at it.
They'll only be defunded until they put theirs in. And if you think the cops now are bad, which they're not, just wait.
And remember, if you go historically, eventually, when they argue who's going to control the cops, then Himmler invents his own cops, and that's the SS.
Right.
But they still have Gestapo, but that's Goering. Goering has Gestapo. But if you look for some real... The Schutzstaffel, the SS. Oh, I mean, true believers, raised as children. And, you know, when you hear people talk about the universality of what's taking place in public education, you know, they're systematically destroying a past. Then they replace it with their own ideas. And, you know, history is an important segment in this. And who did it better than the boys? Who did it better than Joe Stalin?
Yeah, and just muddling it all together and everyone's
you
bad
can't.
And they're the same thing. It just
you can't.
Really drives me nuts, especially from the people who complain so much about taking down Confederate statues and erasing history.
Watch who gets their hands. Watch who gets their hands on the FCC. I've been saying this now. And talk radio is the last bastion of some craziness that they can't control. They've attempted to, the left and the far left have attempted their own versions of talk radio, and they flop.
Because I remember when 760 was the left-wing station
and,
here.
Yeah, they attempt to do it, but they have pretty much intellectual lightweights.
No, they're terrible at radio, too.
Yeah, well, no, that they just give them. You know, there was one or two guys that were pretty good, but by and large, they were flops, you know, and the outfit flopped. And what did Kurt Vonnegut say? And so it goes. But right now they'll be gunning for this. They have to. This guy that Biden's talking to about being maybe the FCC guy, he's very anti the First Amendment. He really is. And you know what, I mean, I'm reading about Biden and what they're going to do with the Second Amendment and guns. And then they're bringing in these people that are, you know, and give it a year and a half. I tell people that. I was in a conversation just on the phone with a good friend yesterday, and I said, give it a year and a half. They have to get over the hump here and make nice. And then slowly but surely, man, like you start wrenching down.
Well, if they can collude with social media to censor everyone and have what they want, they'll definitely be coming after you. You're a fool to think they wouldn't.
And I don't, you know, and I'm really past the point of caring, but look at how they treated Tay Anderson, or look at just the idea of not questioning Jared Polis. I know it's minor league stuff, but when you look at how they treated Donald Trump when he tests positive, and he and his wife and the kid Barron, they all tested for the virus. Compare that to how Polis and the First Gentleman are being treated. Plus, they're not even talking about their kids. And their spokesperson, a guy named Connor Cahill, refuses to say on what day Polis was exposed. I'm reading this. This is from the Colorado Sun. One of the events that we know is the media briefing in the governor's residence, same state epidemiologist Rachel Hertley, on Tuesday, the day before Polis announces his first test. Neither of them wore masks when they were speaking. Gee, you would think that would be a lead story, wouldn't it?
It would if it was anybody else.
But it isn't, since Polis was told to get tested, and the beat goes on. But just see what they did. And, you know, the end is coming here, but how Donald Trump was treated, it gets back to, you know, how Donald Trump goes.
Yeah. But as long as you vote the right party, you better get the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, look at Obama. How many people he killed with drones and kids? No one cares.
No. But again, if you live in the time and you watch it with caution, and history is this great teacher. It's why I'm so drawn to reading it. It's telling you what's coming. I mean, it's happened before. Why wouldn't it happen again?
Well, I can, you know, I know it sounds big and everyone likes to say, no, we're not there yet. But if they keep poking the bear's going to get up eventually.
Well, yeah, you think that and you hope it. But these guys, remember, these guys are generational. How old are you?
I'm 34.
Well, they semi-care about you, but not much. Do you have children? You have children?
Yes, sir. First one.
How old?
A month.
That's who they care about.
Oh, I know it. It's going to be a very different world for her than what I grew up in.
Well, but again, you know, I got this grandson. He's everything, you know, and I'm thinking, what's waiting for you, kid? Because he modestly says he's smart. What's waiting for you?
Right.
And, you know, and it's waiting for every. I mean, it's always there. But one of the reasons that you read Karl Marx is Marx is brilliant, and that's always. And this is the stuff, like you said, it always makes you nuts. But Karl Marx is a historian. And he puts a locomotive on history. He's the first historian to put a locomotive on what pulls us into tomorrow. And he's, you know, he's taking Hegel and he's doing all those kinds of things, but he's he's showing you what's pulling you into tomorrow. And once you understand that, and you know, the inevitability speaks for itself, that there are things
that, if it was as inevitable as he thought it would be, there wouldn't be a need for revolution.
But it did. But that's what the Bolsheviks did differently. They said, no,
right,
we can be a vanguard party. I mean, if you think about it, Thomas Jefferson, they're a vanguard party.
Right.
Mao's a vanguard. You know, Michael Collins in Ireland, that's a vanguard party. Kick the British out. The concept through history is you know, there's vanguards. And when you think about the patriots in this country that met the British in Boston, that was a vanguard. And they said, it's not going to happen here. And maybe that,
right,
maybe that's repetitive, but oh my heavens.
Well, the only thing I can see that's getting close to being repeated in one form or another is that, you know, say what you want about whatever, but people forget that the National Socialists were the minor party. They were the ones bullied in the streets. They were the ones getting their ass kicked in the street. One of them finally died. They made a freaking anthem for him. He was a martyr for him, you know. They didn't start out being the bullies.
Well,
they were the ones being bullied around.
Actually, he didn't die in the street. He died in the home of a prostitute by a communist killed him.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, but they made
him a martyr.
He became mythical. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They counted him. They horsed Vessel.
Yep.
They counted Horst. Ah. I don't know. I'm like I said, I watch the stuff and I'm thinking, boy, be wrong.
You know, you start messing with people's families and livelihoods and stuff's going to go sideways real quick, man.
Watch what's happening. You know, I have people that I read that tell you this COVID stuff is just a test track.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've admitted it. The Great Reset, Trudeau up there. I mean, everybody knows. You have to be stupid not to know it.
Maybe. You know, I always put the maybe on everything because it is. What did Michael say? Our real enemy is yet to reveal himself.
So, yeah, no kidding.
You're a very good call. Well thought out.
Thanks,
man.
Sir.
Thank you. 303-696-1971. Whoever this is calling about Tay Anderson. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, it's basically the hypocrisy of the left. And I got a new term for Webster's. It's called political privilege. In this case, it should be left's political privilege, because the guys in power seem to think they can get away with any kind of hypocrisy, and we have to swallow it. So obviously what you say is true about Anderson, Hancock, and Polis, all these guys. You're a prophet crying in the wilderness, but not enough people are listening, and they won't listen until it starts to affect them. And I think that's the art of the deal here, is the politicians. I always ask people, how do you catch a 3-pound trout on a 1-pound line? And the answer is very carefully. And so you can't over-reveal your hand. But these guys, you're right, they're sampling the water. They're trying it with this coronavirus and what they can get away with very carefully. So we'll just have to see how things play out.
But I think there's all these road signs as we're going down. We're talking about a path, like Mark's talking about a locomotive. You'll see road signs, or you'll see, you know, billboards practically. Look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this.
And the left has learned that you're absolutely right. You have to start slowly taking away people's freedoms. Hmm. You're right about the FCC.
Oh, yeah.
They will start labeling and defining things and then applying those definitions to different people in the media, such as you. Your show, unfortunately, while it tells the truth or provides an open forum for the people, will start to come under criticism by some of these political people.
What you do is you implement equal time, that when this show is over, you have some stooge that you would put in.
Tell you what Peter said.
Or you would lament, or you would do, you know, fining, or, you know, you would find and structurally change the course of it. When I tell you this, I'm an old guy, man. Do not kid yourself. This is one of the things that they must do if they are going to continue down the road that they're continuing on. If you think for a second that Joe Biden is going to be calling the shots, you know, and this weekend the guy's out playing with his mutt and he screws his ankle up. That's only a beginning, you know? I mean, but what's coming your way?
The real answer is to educate those people who would not turn off the TV and continue to listen to the commentary for them to turn it off and say, "Nah, that's BS."
But
Peter was saying was right.
But we're minor leaguers. I mean, again and again and again, you know, you take a lot of heat for something. But, you know, we'll get these guys on about this Bush-Cheney book that's so upsetting, you know, and the fact that these two gloat and support, they were supporting Biden and despise them. I can't tell you. I mean, the more.
How do you see them limiting your books that you read?
Oh, they, you know, that's way down the road. If, you know, but, you know, what if you read Solzhenitsyn, what was Joseph Stalin scared of? He wasn't scared of guns. He was scared of radios and copying machines. Right. That's what scared him. And, you know, in Kim's Korea, the same thing is true. And Mao's China was very true. China's become a really interesting place to watch. But look at Cuba, you know, Radio Marti in Cuba. All these things have been done before. There's nothing new. It's just how it's served up.
Other thing that's dangerous is that in the political left is the permissiveness of their regimes to allow things to happen around us, like the Venezuelan missile sites to be developed that nobody will counter, nobody will say anything, and basically box us in over the years to get what they want while they're in.
But it's the role-playing of superpowers, and watch these Biden people carefully and cautiously. Thanks, man. 303-696-1971. I get to talk for Danny Kaplis, my guy, man. I like what he says, a serious firm to serious causes. If you know somebody or in the family or somebody, I know a story, this is a horrible story that happened to somebody that I know. Serious personal injury and wrongful death. 37 years Danny's been a lawyer. I think he's done radio about that long, too. We became friends when he came over to KOA and I was working, doing mornings at KHOW. He has won many, many, many multi-million dollar settlements and jury verdicts and for an aside. But Danny won a deal. It was a $2.4 million jury verdict. I heard him talk about an 81-year-old woman who was injured in a transport van. The law offices of Dan Kaplis. So somebody that you, somebody in your family, somebody you know, it's a personal injury, it's a wrongful death, 303-770-5551. It's a phone call. Get their advice. It's DanKaplisLaw.com. And I tell you, personal experiences, what he did with my daughter, and I'll never be able to thank him. Late night, phones ring. It's Dan saying how she's doing. DanKaplisLaw.com, 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 303-770-5551.
The Peter Boyle Show.
Better believe it, everybody. Monday, the 30th of November, tomorrow, December 1. Holidays are here, lines are jammed, and make it easy for you to overspend, which is totally fine if you can afford it. But how crazy things are this year, a better idea to find ways to save or spend less before you go too crazy on the gifts. Why not consider, and I mean this, I mean, I'm so glad I did this, do a mortgage refi. Why not consider a mortgage refinance? Our friends at American Financing are saving people $500,000 a month. Rates are historical lows. You don't know what's going to happen now. Lock one in today by calling them. Get it off the ground. American Financing, they answer the phone right away, 303-695-7000, and begin your talks about, you know, you're dropping the rate on your home. You can do it online if you can't do it by phone or don't want to do it on phone. AmericanFinancing.net's the website. American Financing today, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Lock the number in now. AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. We go to Tom on one. Hey, man, welcome back to the show. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Pete.
Hey, Bubba.
Pete, I was just wondering if you had a chance of watching Giuliani's presentation to the Pennsylvania Joint Committee, Congressional Committee.
When did it happen? Was this after the press conference?
Yeah, I think it. I think it happened Thursday or Friday.
With fairness, I did not.
Huh.
I just didn't. I'm not going to tell you I did it when I didn't do it.
No, I wouldn't expect you to.
Okay. Thanks.
You've been talking about where's the evidence and stuff like that.
Right.
And
where's the evidence?
I don't know, it was about a 2-3 hour presentation with witnesses and forensics and stuff like that. I'm really surprised you hadn't seen that.
Well, you could be surprised at all kinds of stuff, but do you really think, what was the evidence that, and I know you believe this, and that's fine.
Oh, no, I'm not going to put it on his case. It took him 3 hours.
All right, well, I would encourage you
to watch that.
All right, but I don't know. I did watch that, listen to the phone interview on Fox, and it was sad.
This was a presentation under oath, I believe. It was given to the Pennsylvania a joint Senate and House committee. And he had quite a few witnesses. One of them I was really impressed by was a guy from the military, and they didn't make too much of it, but he apparently indicated that there are various teams from the military, a special.
I do know the story. I read that story, yes.
You have to hear the testimony.
Okay. I did read about what he said that, I mean, the conspiracy now is so vast. If I watched and I listened to the president speaking, and now it's the governor of Georgia, it's the Republican Party, it's the FBI. I don't trust the FBI, but if you go back to that initial one, it was Chavez and China and Venezuela and Cuba, the Clintons, Soros. I mean,
Giuliani even says he didn't believe that until.
Well, they said it.
What's his name? Sidney documentation.
But you know, I brought this up earlier. The other ace hammer was going to be Lynn Wood. Lynn Wood fell on his face in that courtroom, and we've never heard from Lynn Wood again. Other Jersey.
Well,
come on,
not
Tommy.
Necessarily the case.
Well, what have you heard from Lynn Wood since he got booted out of court?
The judge apparently threw that case out with some silly ruling that they took too long to.
He had one witness, and she was a Republican operative. I followed it because Lynn Wood used to threaten me, and I followed Lynn Wood. He brought in one witness, who was a Republican, who said things were fishy. It's all she said. It's been said, but you know, and I know that. And again, I listened to the president. We have the best evidence. Many people are saying they have never seen such good evidence. It's beautiful evidence. No one can believe how good our evidence is. That's what he said. Okay, and they're going to reveal it in 2 weeks. What's the evidence?
Well, Pete, with everything you know, naturally I've been listening to you for years.
Thank you.
With everything you know about the Democratic Party, their history of corruption and cheating, and that kind of stuff, and
it's
the
evidence
that has been presented.
It's not evidence.
Do you really have? Now, this is. I'm asking for your opinion, not what you can base on facts. But do you have any doubt that they used massive cloud
driven
cheating
doubt.
To overwhelm?
Huge doubt.
Yeah.
Huge doubt.
You have a huge doubt?
Oh, sure. I mean, you have to look. You got to bring. At least people have been promising. Again, what does Sidney Powell call it? The bombshell. Rush Limbaugh, a close friend, Limbaugh said, if you got a bombshell, you got to show a bombshell. They have not shown a bombshell. In fact, they got rid of Sidney Powell. And from the inside, from reading the Trump insiders, who said she got too nuts that Trump had to get rid of her. And
well, I don't know where you're getting that.
He's going to protect her, but
She was never officially part of the team.
Oh, come, please. She was the second person to speak at their press conference. Tommy, this is the stuff that's maddening. I love you. Have a good day. Not part of the team. Convenient. She spoke second at the elite strike force. She was the number two speaker. She's not really part of the team. She's come up with all those vote counters in Germany and Spain. Even the Trumpster said, nah, we got to get rid of her. Lynn Wood, he had the answers. No, he didn't have the answer either. Look, I want it to be true, but the best evidence, they've never seen such good evidence. It's beautiful evidence. Nobody can believe how good our evidence is. We're going to reveal it in 2 weeks. Reveal it now. See you tomorrow morning. We'll do it one more time. Thanks, Billy Thorpe. Be safe.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.